Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, last week on the show, I don't know if you were listening, but we discussed an interview that the singer Nick Cave did where he revealed how, well, just how he coped after his son Arthur died really suddenly. He said, it was a simple kindness of a waitress that really, really helped him. Oh, my days. We got so many texts into the show from our listeners just about your own grief. And one caller in particular, Miriam, she shared her story about losing her husband. Have a listen to this.
I experienced a traumatic grief, I suppose, myself about 4 years ago when my husband died.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And I found in the beginning I avoided places. Like I avoided the local shopping centre. Because I knew I'd meet people who were only being nice. But I just avoided it because I just didn't know what to say and they didn't know what to say. So just had to kind of avoid the areas, I guess. But it's in your own time then when you're ready to go places and meet people. And then the other side of it then was, I know you were talking about then how, you know, people don't know and they don't know what to do and they don't know what to say. And I think the biggest thing is for people just to show up.
Yeah.
Just be there. And, like, you remember. The funeral was massive. You know, a huge funeral, and I remember being there for hours and hours and hours and meeting every person who came through that door, and some I remember, some I don't remember, but it was just so huge to have that support there, to have that there for me and my family.
So life coach Rachel Gutto, she joins me now just to talk about the grieving process and the best way to deal with it. Rachel, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning.
Good morning. So can we just remind people of your story? Because you lost your brother and your husband, isn't that right?
That's right. By the time I was 30, I had already lost my brother and lost my husband in a traumatic accident and had just had a baby a couple of months after my husband died. And I went on to develop a brain tumor not long after that and then lost my actual physical health and became paralyzed due to the neurosurgery. So I had experienced a huge amount of trauma and loss at a very, very young age, Jennifer.
Was the grief different for each of their deaths, like your brother and your husband? Can you remember, or was it all a bit of a blur?
I can remember precisely the difference in both deaths. And in fact, my father died a year after my husband. So there were three deaths in 3 years. And each one had a completely different, if you can use the word flavor, because that's all I can think of. They're so individual. And each loss brought something or took something different in a different way. And so when there was a sort of, you know, cumulative losses, then they started to meld into one. And that's when my real true mental and physical health really began to plummet, because there was no time to process between the losses.
Do you think that's how it impacted you physically and mentally?
It impacted me in so very many ways. I actually felt as if I was going to implode personally. That was my experience. It felt like a pressure cooker. And I was almost trapped in this meld and ever morphing display and experience of emotions, feelings and physical experiences. And it's very overwhelming and very, very frightening, Jennifer. And that's why I like to speak about grief and want to normalize having conversations around it, because it's something that we don't really talk about, but yet everybody experiences it.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you deal with it? I mean, that is the big question that everybody wants to know. How do we deal with grief?
I suppose I was very young and I dealt with it in a very uninformed way, very clumsily. And I'm sure that's how most people experience it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't learn ABCs of grief in school. Nobody mentions it. And then all of a sudden, we're thrust into the limelight with very large funerals that other caller has spoken about. And there's this gorgeous outpouring of support. And we can feel very, very held around the experience of the funeral and all the weeks following. But what happens after the funeral is finished and all the people return home into their lives, our lives are in effect halted. They're stopped. And it's like the world is still revolving and we're stuck in one place. And that, for me, was when I really began to lose my understanding of what was going to happen. I was being very well held by society and the societal norms and the ritual of death, but then I was left holding the baby in my instance, literally, and I was very isolated. I was frightened and I was alone and I was clueless.
You're a life coach. Would you meet a lot of people whose lives have been just completely railroaded by grief?
Well, I see it probably more in my clinical hypnotherapy practice because I work with prolonged and complex grief, that sort of thing, because grief is a normal process. And we don't sort of medicate it, we don't pathologize it, because everybody's grief experience is different and everybody experiences in a unique way. But yes, we do see people with grief because actually a lot of our emotional and mental health issues can be to do with origins of loss or, you know, somebody who died very young. I worked with a woman a couple of years ago, and in fact, her mum had died very, very young, and she was still living with the reverb of that loss of a parent figure at a very young age. So we see it in all forms, and it can blight lives many, many, many decades later.
We often hear that there are five stages of grief, don't we? There's denial and anger and bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. But it has to be more complex than that.
Absolutely. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was the person who, sort of brought out these five stages of grief. Now, it's widely known at this point that that was actually designed for people at end of life, people with terminal diagnosis. And somehow it got segued into grief and grief responses. So you're absolutely right, Jennifer. It is much, much more complex and much, much more varied than just those five stages. There are no limits to what we can experience in a response to a loss of grief. And incidentally, remember that grief and loss may not just be to do with another human or a loved person in our lives. It could be a pet. It could be a job. Grief, you know, expands right out through our whole lives, really. And so anything that one experiences during the grieving process is considered to be normal. And I say for myself, I was numb. I was hysterical sometimes. This was in the early days. I would have periods of immense peace and quiet, and I'd go and read books. I would end up incapable of actually leaving the house. I didn't eat. I had unhealthy practices. It morphs into all areas. And it's so important for anyone who's listening to understand that whatever you are experiencing, it's more than likely a normal grief response. Grief cannot be boxed. It can't be categorized. If you are concerned, do reach out to a professional. There's always somebody who with grief experience who can help you process through. But it does take on all forms. And to understand that whatever it is that's going on in you, it's likely from the grief itself.
If you have lost someone, what is the best course of action on getting through it? Should you force yourself to go and talk to your friends, get out for walks? I mean, I know they say time is a healer and all that kind of stuff and will make a difference. But is there things that people should maybe try and do or to help them get through it?
Yeah. And time is the healer. I think that for me, that was one of the most horrible sentences I could have been given. Because, you know, grief doesn't have a time limit. And at the time, it just feels like the most empty statement because you're feeling what you're feeling in the immediate moment, in the present moment. So time is no use to somebody who's really suffering. There are so many ways to care for yourself during a loss. And the list is not exhaustive. It can be anything that helps you in the moment, providing it is a form of healthy practice. I think, firstly, knowing that everything you experience, any emotion or any physical response, is likely from the grief response and grief itself. And that is normal. And that means if you're numb, you're crying, you're angry, you're incapable of eating, mostly normal. Try and take care of yourself and allow those emotions to sit, because sometimes when we fight against them, it can take more energy than we have and become more frightening. Know that these emotions are moving and they will change and they'll come and go and they'll wax and wane, so that you actually know that you're actually safe. You're going to be okay. It feels awful. It is uncomfortable, but you're going to be okay. And I think allowing yourself the space to grieve. We have very busy lives, and some people who are bereaved have to go to work and they have to function. They might have children, and carving out small portions of time where you can actually allow yourself to fall apart if needs be, I think is very, very important.
Okay.
You know, and don't overschedule, you know, be kind to yourself.
Good advice.
And reach out.
This was the big thing that we were talking about last week, is sometimes people around the person who's grieving haven't a clue what to say or what to do or how to act. If you have someone in your life who is grieving, how should you handle it?
I think the first thing to do is, you know, remember that their world has stopped, because time passes at different times for people who are bereaved and people who are not in the grieving process. And the person in the grieving process, their time is stopped. It's crawling by. So to remember that their world has stopped and to check in and resist the urge to share your own grief experiences, because it's often we want to empathize and we want to, you know, share that we understand. But actually, that can be very isolating for somebody. And try your best to be brave enough to ask about the person who's gone. Tell the person to tell you stories about them, because people who are grieving want to talk about their loss. They want to tell the story. And my own experience, and I've experienced it in my clients, is the need to tell the story over and over again until it no longer needs to be told. And also be prepared not to fix. You know, just be present for the person. And that takes a bit of bravery, because our natural instinct is to want to mop up and tidy up and box. But if you can just find it within you just to sit and be present with the person and refrain from saying, you know, are you over that yet? Or, you know,
time is a healer.
Yeah, yeah. Stay away from that, because grief takes time. And, you know, ask the person, how can I best support you? Now, that person may say, I don't know. And you can actually say, well, I'll check in again, because being consistent is the most kind thing you can do. If you say you're going to text or message or call or show up, do that, because that person may be relying on you for that one show of contact or understanding or empathy in their day. So if you commit to something, make sure to show up. And remember the times that when you're busy, when you're getting busier, that is usually the time when the grieving person is most alone. I remember New Year's Eve 2000, and it was such a massive New Year's Eve for everybody. And I remember sitting on the floor with my back against the bed, my two-year-old little girl asleep in the cot beside me, and watching the fireworks going off over the hills. And I never felt more alone in my life. Now, it wasn't anyone's fault, because people's lives go on. But I remember thinking to myself, I will never forget somebody if I know they're grieving, because I know that isolation and the emptiness that we receive and live with when our world has stopped and the other person's is still turning.
Yeah, yeah, good advice. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Always a pleasure. You are a life coach and you've loads of great advice. But if people want to follow you or find out more, can they find you online?
They certainly can. I'm on Instagram at Rachel V. Gotto, and you'll find my website, rachelgotto.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.